today that I'm doing like the last Wednesday in 2021. I was like, that's pretty cool. No pressure, right? But but I'm excited to see what God has in store for 2022. Don't know what's in store, but I'm ready for it. So I'm going to just go ahead. Let's go ahead and get it started. So I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this time that we have today. You are so, so good to us. And we just thank you, Father. Right now, Lord, I just pray that you, Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here. Lord, I pray that you speak through me, Lord, that they don't see me standing up here, but they see you, Father. That they don't hear me, Lord, but they hear you speaking through me, Father. And Lord, I pray tonight that people's lives will be changed from your word, Lord, that people will be set free, drawn closer to you, Lord, and just refreshed, Father, and excited as we enter the new year. It hasn't been easy these last 2 years, but we're still standing. We're still standing. So we thank you, Lord, as we just take 2022 head on, that you will just help us in that, Lord. And we just thank you that we have a blessed service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. With that being said, it's amazing how stuff works out. God gave me this message some months ago because, like I said, the past couple years have been pretty, it's been a roller coaster. But I've noticed, especially being in college, that a lot of people are struggling, especially in the body of Christ, because I have a group of friends at Francis Marion, and we're all believers, but it's amazing to see how much struggle, like, people have when it comes to being successful. And I've even noticed people who, like, have reached, like, identity crisis almost in the body of Christ. And we're living in a time where people are struggling with, you know, basing their identity off of how much success they have, how much money they make. Oh, I don't have this job. Oh, I'm this relationships. I'm not married yet. It's sad to see, but at the same time, we have to remember who we are and whose we are and who our identity is in. So my subject for today is remember who you are. And this kind of came to me from a variety of things, from my own personal experience, from some devotionals and stuff I've done. Speaking of, there was a devotional I did this summer. I enjoy watching the Olympics. That's something I like to do every 4 years when it comes around. And there was a devotional involving Olympic athletes and how their athleticism, and they tied that in with their faith and all that. But one particular stuck out to me. Her name was Laura Wilkinson, and she's an Olympic diver. I think she retired around 2008. That was the last time she did like any type of stuff like that. But in her story, she was saying, like, in 2008, her last run, she said, you know, she was getting older. Most of the people she was competing against were much younger than her, so she knew her time was pretty much coming to an end as that. And she was okay with that, but she was ready to transition into kind of being a mother. She had been married for 6 years, and they were excited to have a family, have kids, and that was her next step. But they kind of hit a bump in the road where they were concerned to where she might not be able to have kids. And she was like, well, I'm open to adopt and all this stuff, but then her husband wasn't necessarily too on the same page, so she reached a point, this is what really stuck out to me. She said she reached a point, and she's a believer, and she was at a believer at this point. She said, I didn't know who I was. She said, if I can't be an Olympic diver or Olympic athlete, and I can't be a mother, then who am I? And it's like, I feel like a lot of people are going through the same thing. Like, if I can't have this success, I'm not married yet, or I don't have this kind of money, or I don't have this, then who am I? But see, that's not the case. We serve a mighty God. So we don't have to get to that place. So I'm going to go ahead and dive right into scripture. And I'm going to start at, and this actually ties right in to kind of her story. This is the scripture that kind of helped her get out of that. But I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to do better with slowing down, y'all, because I know when the scriptures, I'll be moving. So I'm going to do a better job of that. All right, hold on. Let me find my stuff. I'm talking about y'all. Let me get my stuff together. Okay, here we go. And I'm going to start at chapter 6, mostly because this is to give us some context, but I want to focus on verse 8 and beyond, but this is Paul right here. And it says, if I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, So to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. All right, check this out, verse 8. It says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And she said, that's the script. That's the passage of scripture that helped her. She said it took her months, but helped her get to a point to where she was content. Because when we're going through something, when you're in the valley, when you're in the lows of the lows, it's not easy going through that. It's so easy to say, God, just take this away. But where would the lesson be in that? Where would the faith growth be if God just took everything away? Sometimes we have to come cry out to God and be like, God, I know this is hard. But see, the thing is, God didn't promise that we would never go through anything. But he did say he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to leave us out to dry. So, no, he might not necessarily just take you out that situation or take that inconvenience away. We got to remember that we had a Jesus that bared a cross for us. But yet we can't. Sometimes we get the complaining. We get the whining in our little situations. But he bared the sins of the world and everyone on him. Yet we get real buried up in our stuff. And we're like, God, take this away. This ain't fair. But life ain't really fair at all. But I tell you what, God is good. And we have a provider. And that's my next point. I meant to tell you, I have 5 points. And I'm gonna go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And it says, is everybody there? I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33, I apologize, 33, and it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Check out verse 33 again. It says, seek the kingdom of God, not the news. Not the politics, not your doctor, not your mama, not your dad. It says, seek ye the kingdom of God above all else, and, everybody say and. Live righteously. Not live sinfully, live the way you want to live, but live righteously, and then he will give you everything you want. Oh, see, y'all paying attention. It doesn't say he'll give you everything you want. He might not give you that 2022 Mercedes Benz. But he'll make sure you have a car. He says he will give you everything you need. Of course, I believe God will give us those desires, but we have to remember that when we're going through those times, when we feel like we have that thorn in our side, this is the first point. God's grace is enough. God's love is enough, and he is a provider. And that is all we need. There's a song that I love. It's called Jireh, which Jireh is the Lord our provider. And in the song, it's by Maverick City. It says, Jireh, you are enough. In every circumstance, I will be content because you are enough. That's the word right there, y'all. So that's my first point. God's grace is enough, and he is a provider. The next point is we need to be grateful, thankful, grateful, however you want to say, in every circumstance. So let's flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Y'all can say amen when y'all get there. Amen. All right. I don't move too fast. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, always be joyful. Verse 17 says, never stop praying. Verse 18, check this out. Be thankful in some circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, we all know it's true. How many of y'all in here have complained before? Oh, yeah, right? We probably complaining today, right? I was probably complaining in traffic, because that's just how it is, right? But in our heart, it's like, when things go well, right? When that direct deposit hit, when you on vacation, when you just got the new whip, that's a car for y'all that don't know. You just got the new whip, got the new crib. You know, it's easy to be grateful in those situations. Hashtag blessed, they be putting that on Facebook. But where's the hashtag blessed when things ain't going so good? When the snatchback man come take the car, where the hashtag blessed at? Ain't nobody posting that on Facebook. Ain't nobody talking about, man, hashtag blessed, I just lost my job. But God is still good. It's so easy to complain in the lowest moments. To be like, man, I don't have this. God, you done forgot about me. Don't you care? Don't you see what I'm going through? But man, if we really sat down and took a look at how we had it in our lowest moments, that would help us so much. Me and a group of friends of mine at Francis Marion did something during Thanksgiving week. They had us write down five things we're thankful for every single day leading up that whole week. I actually had the teens do this too. When I tell y'all, and it had to be something different every day. It couldn't be like, thank you, Lord, house, water, clothes, it had to be something different every day. And I'm telling you, when you do something like that, it really makes you realize how good you have it. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie to y'all, sometimes I hate school. Cannot stand it. It is trash sometimes. But then I realized during this whole thing, I'm like, you know, there's some people who can't even get an education, who can't afford an education, or like, and I'm like, I should be thankful. Even though some of my professors be tripping sometimes, God bless them because I can go get an education. So it really opened up my eyes to realize how good I have it. And when you can get in your lowest point and realize what you have and what you're grateful for, that can help you. That'll help you through that valley. So that's the second point. We need to be grateful in every circumstance. Fight that urge to find a reason to complain. Fight that urge. Number three, this is a good one right here. Being obedient to God. You know, let me go to scripture first. I'm going to scripture first. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. I was reading this. I actually love this. I love the way this was going right here. To me, it was a little sarcasm in there. All right. Is everybody there? Cool. I'm going to go ahead and start. Verse 46. It says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? To me, I was like, dang, that's tough. That's tough. He was like, how you going to call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? That's right. Something else right there. He says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against the house, it collapses into a heap of ruins. So being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ is our foundation. Let's check this out right here. You know, there's some, before I even get to that, you know, there's some situations we did not have to get into if we would have just listened. I know that's the case for me. Has anybody ever in here ever like disobeyed your parents? Okay, if you ain't say yet, you're lying. So you need to repent because everybody's disobeyed their parents. I have. Have your parents ever said something along the lines like, maybe you were riding the bike and say, all right, don't go too far, don't do this, or whatever, for your own safety? Yeah. Did it anyway, and then end up with a skint up knee or a busted up lip. And they would say, see, that's why I told you not to go do that. I feel like God be doing the same thing with us. We go do something, he say, don't do it. We go do it. He be like, dang, oh, I'm in this situation. And God was like, I just told you. Don't go do that. Sometimes we get ourselves in situations we don't have to get in. And we wonder, like, and then we have the audacity to go back and complain and say, God, why'd you let this happen to me? Well, why ain't you listening in the first place? So I'm talking to me too, y'all. This was ministering to me. But also, in addition to that, he said it's a foundation. So when we're obedient to what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, when we get in those moments of where we don't know where to turn, where things aren't looking too good, we have a foundation, and because God knows what we're going to go through. That's why he's God. So he's preparing us to go through it. So if we're obedient to him leading up to whatever we may be getting into, we won't be knocked down because we'll have a foundation. We'll have a foundation. It's also very similar again with your parents. Your parents tell you stuff leading up, going over your life, so you'll be prepared for what the world has to come. That's why they don't just throw you out here and do you, or at least they shouldn't. That's why they get you ready for what the world is the same way. So we need to be obedient in big things and in small things. How much time I got? I got a quick look. Can I tell a quick little story? It's kind of funny. It's funny now. It wasn't funny then. So long story short, I don't know if everybody knows what Nintendo Switch is, but I like to play video games. It's a video game device. You can plug it into your TV and play it. You can play it, you can take it, whatever. So I wanted one because I was playing with my cousin with it. I was like, you know what, I want me one of those. But they were like $300. And I was like, oh, that's steep. I mean, I had it, but I was like, that's steep. I was like, I'm gonna go try to find a deal. So I went to the Facebook Marketplace. And I was like, I'm searching. I was like, $150, that's it right there. And it just, you know, I haven't seen something that just looked too good to be true. Yeah, too good to be true. And it came with stuff too. It wasn't just $150 in console, it was $150 in accessories. I was like, oh, this is good right here. I was like, I'm the man. I was like, look how I found this, $300. That's a steal. So I looked it out, and I'm thinking, I'm investigating, right? I'm like, oh, this dude, you know, he look legit. He sell other stuff. It had a little blue check mark by it, said Facebook protection. So if something happens, we'll give you your money back. I was like, oh, that's cool. But I had a little voice in here that said, you might want to wait. I was like, eh. But I was like, if I wait, it might be gone, you know, tomorrow or whatever. I said, so I like, I kind of pushed the voice to the back and I messaged the dude, right? And I was still getting that, like, you better wait. And I was like, nah, I ain't gonna wait. And this is the funny part. I was like, so, hey man, is this legit? Like, he gonna tell me the truth, right? Like, oh nah, man, this is a scam. Don't buy this. He's like, of course it's legit. He's trying to, so yeah, I paid him. He was like, this is like, also I knew stuff when something was wrong. God, I paid him. Now, this was a Friday. He was like, you'll have it by Monday. I was like, I kind of quit. I like, must be express or something. You know, I'm trying to convince myself. So Monday came, no package. I was like, I was kind of quick, dog. I'll give him like Tuesday. Tuesday came, no package. I was like, I'm giving one more day. I'm giving one more day. Wednesday came, no package. So I go back to message the dude, right? This account has been disabled. I was so, and then it was like, God was like, I tried to tell you not to. So I lost 150. Now, I could have been, this is a lot worse things that could happen, but that's just a small example. If I would have been obedient, I'd have had $150 more in my account. So first off, don't go on Facebook Marketplace. That's just a little tip. But if I would have been obedient to the Holy Spirit telling me, man, just wait, I wouldn't have lost out on $150. So either I lost out on $150 or maybe the package is still on its way. I don't know. It's about 6 months behind. But all that being said, be obedient to when the Lord is telling you something. And there's going to be more serious situations where you need to be obedient. You need to come before God before you make some big decisions as well. You know, it ain't got to be everything. It ain't got to be like, oh, gosh, I get Burger King or Wendy's. Because you probably should have neither anyway. but the big decisions, though, those crossroads you get to, come to the Lord. And when he tells you, if it's not what you want to hear, it's okay because he knows better. He already know the outcome. Why? He already knows. So let's just go ahead and be obedient, right? Moving on. Okay. So number three is being obedient to God. Number four, this was my favorite. Number four is count it all joy. In every situation, be joyful. Count it all joy. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 2. James 1, verse 2. I really, really like this. James is good in general. James will step on your toes. I should read James. I'd be like, dog, God. You have to call me out like that. All right, James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. It doesn't say curl up in the bed and weep. It doesn't say walk around and be depressed. It says consider it an opportunity. And see, it says opportunity. Opportunity is a choice. You have an opportunity. You have to grasp the opportunity. So I have an opportunity to choose to have joy or to choose to have sorrow. It says you have the opportunity to consider it great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Anybody in here like to run for like exercise? Me either. My boy. I used to play basketball, right? And before basketball season started, you always have conditioning. And the start of conditioning was always the worst because I was like out of shape. I had been drinking sodas. So you get the running, you get that little cramp in your side. And you just But when the more you run, the more you exercise, the more endurance you begin to build. So in the beginning, you may only be able to run for 10, 15 minutes. But after a while, you may be able to knock it up to 30, 40. And it's good. It's healthy for your body. But you're building endurance. When you go through things in this life, testing of your faith builds endurance. It builds you up to be able to handle these things. But when you have joy, you can make it through that. You can make it through that. And then I looked up joy, and then I looked up happiness, because I'm glad it doesn't say, I'm glad it says joy and not happiness. Because happiness, this is what I look, it says happiness is an outward expression often controlled by how you feel. So you can wake up feeling happy, but by 12 o'clock, your coworker that you don't like being a major upset, and your whole mood has changed. And you ain't even happy no more. They ruined your whole day, which is a whole nother story for a whole nother time. You shouldn't let nobody steal your happiness. But nevertheless, happiness is a feeling, and it's an outward expression. I can tell when you're happy. You usually can tell when somebody's happy. You can tell when somebody's sad. But that's so controlled by your feelings. You can have joy regardless how you feel. It says joy endures hardships and trials. It connects with meaning and purpose. Let me read that back. What did it just say in here? It said, when your faith is tested, your what has a chance to grow? Endurance. So it says, and it says here, joy endures hardship. You know, you could be sick. You could have just lost your job. You could not know what your next move is. Family, maybe having family issues, but you can still have joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And joy is a thing. We don't have to, we may not feel happy, but we can still have joy. And how do you have joy? Oh, let's go back. Remembering that God's grace is enough and that he is your provider. How do we have joy? Being grateful in every circumstance. How do we have joy? Being obedient to what God tells us to do. That'll bring us joy. It all ties in together. So I encourage you, be joyful in every situation, when it's good and when it's bad. Because that'll help us get through. I'm almost finished. This is my last one. This is probably, I said that last one, my favorite. This is probably, my favorite example is going to be with this one, though. So go to Psalms 139. And we're going to start at verse 13. I actually love this. This is something I read a lot when I feel anxious. You should read the whole thing if you haven't. It's really good. But we're just going to read verse 13 and 14. Everybody made it there? Okay. So Psalms 139, verse 13. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. In the New King James Version, it also says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But I want to point something out here that I thought was really cool. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together. That's precision. That's specific. It's saying it was delicate. You know, how would this sound if it was like you hammered all the inner parts of my body together? That just don't quite sound the same, does it? You know, you glued together the inner parts of my body. See, I've never knitted or sewed, but knitting takes some precision, doesn't it? You have to be delicate. You have to be careful. It says, I knit together in my mother's womb. Y'all, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God was specific with us. I looked up fearfully and wonderfully made because I wanted to know myself. It said you were created with great reverence, heartfelt interest, and respect to be unique and set apart. That's cool. Unique and set apart. Y'all, when we get in those moments, we have to remember that we are made in the image of God, and we were not only made in the image of God, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm going to end with this example. How many people have seen The Lion King? Anybody seen The Lion King? Not everybody? Okay. One of my favorite movies of all time, first off. Great movie. Disney movie, But I have a good friend of mine. Shout out to Richard if you're watching. Good friend of mine I made at Francis Marion. Like, brother to me now. But we enjoy the same type of movies. We have all kinds of conversations. But this man right here always finds a way, and no matter what the movie is, to take something away like God showed him. It don't matter. I'm like, bro, how did you even get that out of, like, the Avengers? Like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, I'm not kidding, actually. But one time, when we were having a conversation, he was like, yo, bro, I love The Lion King. I was like, yeah, I like The Lion King, too. But he was like, not for the reason you would think I love The Lion King. So this is not me. I'm crediting him with this. But he broke this down to me. I can never watch this movie the same, and you'll probably never watch the same if you've seen it. So to give you a brief, you know, synopsis of what the movie is, Lion Mufasa, Simba's born, the baby lion, supposed to be king. His Uncle Scar comes, not happy about it. He wants to be king. Essentially, he deceives Simba, and since Simba's out doing stuff he has no business, but he tricks him. He gets in trouble. His dad, Mufasa, has to come save him. In that process, Scar kills Mufasa, Simba's dad. Scar blames Simba. He said, look at what you did. You did that. Now you got to go. You got to run away. You can't go back home. You can't go back to the pride. Go. Run. Nobody can see you again. Now, that wasn't what I actually got that from that. He didn't tell me this part, but I thought that was something else, because don't when we mess up, the devil try to get you to isolate yourself? Woo! But that's a whole nother sermon. That's a whole nother sermon. So I'm going to move on. But eventually, Simba grows up, right? And he comes across this monkey. Now, the monkey in the movie is a little bit kooky, but that's neither here nor there. But at this point, he comes across this monkey that he's not sure it is, but the monkey's like, I know, you know, the monkey was there at his birth and was friends with his family. He's like, I know your father. And Simba's like, well, my father is dead. He's like, no, your father is alive. He's like, come with me. He takes him to this body of water. It might be a lake or river, I'm not sure. He says, look in there. And he looks irritatedly. Simba's like, bro, I just see my face. He said, no, look harder. Look harder. An image of his father pops up. Now, check this out. He said, he lives in you. He lives in you. Now, don't that sound familiar? Yes. Don't we have somebody living on the inside of us? Ooh, it gets better, though. It gets better, right? It gets better. So then his father, he sees his father in, like, this vision, and his father's all like, but just like Simba and all that good stuff. But he was like, remember who you are. Where y'all think I got that title from? He says, remember who you are. Now, check this out. He tells Simba, you know, remember who you are. You are the one true king. Because in this movie, he was about to be the king of the lions or whatever, or the jungle. But aren't we the children of the one true king? Yeah. Woo! Y'all ain't, man. Didn't I just say we are the children of the one? Y'all ain't never going to watch that movie the same. That I watched that today just to, like, get me, like, re-hyped up for this. I was like, man, that's crazy. Sometimes, y'all, when we feeling down, we in the dumps, we at crossroads, go look in your mirror, clean it off if it's dusty, and instead of complaining and this, that, and the third, look harder and say, he lives in me. Greater is he that lives in me. I am the child of the one true king. Remember who you are. So as I close, I'll go back through the points one more time. Number one is God's grace is enough and he is a provider. Number two is we need to be grateful in every circumstance. Number three, we need to be obedient to God when he speaks to us. In every situation, number four, we should count it all joy. And number five is we need to remember that we are made in the image of God and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay? All right. So live stream, if you're watching this today, I hope you were blessed. I hope the Lord was able to speak to you through this. But a lot of what I spoke to today involves people who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and who are believers. You may be in a place where you don't know the next turn. You may be feeling like you have an identity crisis, like the woman I told earlier in the story. You may feel like you don't know who you are. Well, I tell you, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you will have an advocate, you will have a father, you will have a help me, and you can know who you are. in Christ. But in order to do that, you have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. So right now, I just want you to repeat after me. It's going to be real simple. It's a prayer I actually learned from Billy Graham, his salvation prayer. And just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, you died upon a cross and rose again to save the lost. Forgive me now of all my sin. Come be my Savior, Lord, and friend. Change my life and make it new. And help me, Lord, to live for you. And it's really that simple. All you have to do is confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart, and Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And if you repeated that after me, we want to hear from you. We want to email us at wlfc@cfaith.com. Give us a call, 843-537-4522. Send us a mail. Come see us, okay? Have a blessed evening.